All right, we'll give it a few seconds here. And I'm gonna start, Darius, I'll start the audio. Well, thank you for joining us on the Rescue Revive Gospel Show. Today or this evening, depending upon where you're tuning in, we are going Facebook Live. Also, this will play on WYSL every Sunday evening at 11:30 p.m. 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM, and 10:40 a.m. This is Pastor Domenico Denisi. I'm in our Rescue and Revive Ministry headquarters in High Falls, and our guest today, we'll call you minister, but I know I could say pastor, youth pastor, a number of different titles, Darius Walker. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate you for having me, brother.
You're welcome. Yes, honored. I want to tell people to start with how this happened, because God's fingerprints was in this.
All over, for real. Yep.
I tell friends this. There's a lot of people that I know that don't know me, and what I mean by that is this. I'll watch social media. One of my closest friends and co-laborers in Christ, Randy Vaselli, Minister Randy. Yep. And I were like this. I watched him on social media. Sent him a message, the rest is history, over 6 years ago.
Wow.
I've seen your name on social media, seen a couple things, and I try to be kind of selective, perfectly selective on who I invite on and to interview for the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. So I sent you a message via message, you never got it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's Christmas Eve this year, and I'm running into Walmart to go get some black socks, okay, because I was wearing a suit. I didn't want everybody to see my socks, so I'm running in there to get some black socks. So it matches my suit, and I see you, and I say, hey, Darius Walker, and you look like you saw a ghost, kind of, right? He's like, who is this dude, right?
No word.
And I said, did you get the messages on it I sent you? You're like, no, I never got it. I said, yeah, I sent you a message. I have this ministry. I have this show, and the rest is history. Mm-hmm. But the chances of that happening, as we were talking right before, are very, very slim. That's how this connection started. I called you out in Walmart on Christmas Eve. Why were you there, by the way?
You know what's crazy? I forgot.
You were there for this.
T-shirt.
You were there for this. Trust me. But we ended up eventually connected for lunch, got to know you a little bit. So let me start off with this quickly. I tell everybody the show goes by fast. We only have 25 minutes of recording time left, because that was a 2-minute longer introduction. Let's get right into it. Tell people a little bit about it, how old you are to begin with, because I want to.
I'm 28 years old.
Young man.
Yes, sir.
Very young man.
Yes, sir.
Tell people just a little bit in 1 or 2 minutes, if that's possible. Give people your testimony, how you came to know Jesus Christ.
Yeah, long story short, you know, the Lord was planting a lot of seeds in me as a young man, didn't even know. And as a young child, didn't even know, but I had a praying grandmother.
That's awesome.
And, you know, That's what I always was just grateful for, is a praying grandmother. I had no clue she was praying for her kids, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so, long story short, though, my cousin kept begging us to come to youth group with him, and I was about 15 years old, and this was 2011, October, specifically. And, okay. You know, we went there, but I went for the wrong reasons, you know, for I'm sure many people can attest to that.
Exactly, girls or whatever.
Yep. Okay. And just trying to be cool. And but I went there from about October to December at the Father's House, actually, youth group. And I learned a lot. I learned what sin was. I learned what the lifestyle that I was living was wrong. I mean, in the Lord's eyes, but he saw everything. And I always grew up thinking, don't get caught by your parents, because I'm always in trouble. Or don't get caught by the police, because I was always told I'm going to end up in prison or dead, based on how I was living. And, you know, God knew and saw everything I've done and still loved me, still wanted me. And that like, broke me inside. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, going to the Father's House. It was, like, one more youth group. And going into 2012, I just had a call in my spirit to live differently. And I didn't know how, I didn't know why, I just, like, you know, a New Year's resolution, literally, with my good friend and my cousin. I said, let's try to live like a Christian or something, you know. And, you know, doing music and stuff. December 8, 2011, a guy introduced me and asked me and said, you know, do you want to do gospel music? Because we can sign you. Yeah. And me and my boy was like, nah, we good. And long story short, we said, all right, we'll do it, because we wanted to get signed.
Yeah.
But God got my attention there, man. And ever since then, I never looked back. And God transformed my heart, literally.
Amazing. How many years, roughly?
This is 2012.
2012. Okay, yeah, so about 13 years ago.
Yep.
Amazing.
January 2013.
Let me move forward in that testimony, because when we were having lunch, something really stuck out to me. You said, was it Wagner College you went to?
Yes, sir.
So you go to Wagner College in New York City, and you said, you heard, and I've never had this experience, but I believe others have, like yourself. You said the one time you heard an audible voice from God. Mm-hmm. And that audible voice from God was that he wanted you to go into youth ministry.
Yeah.
And you said that, correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a while, you started to cry, you ran out the building. Yeah. To build on that a little bit, or correct what I said.
Yeah, so, you know, you would assume somebody who heard the audible voice of God in the library, a senior year of college, you would cry, mm-hmm. just, oh my gosh, it's heard from the Lord. But I went outside tearing up my eyes, thinking somebody was talking to me behind, first off, and I realized I heard it the second time. I went outside, teared up my eyes, I knew who it was, my Father in heaven. And it wasn't crying with tears of joy, it was crying with tears of, no, no, I don't want to do that. What if I want to do this? I got goals, Lord. I want to travel and do this. I want to do. And, you know, I remember, like, the Lord calmed my spirit. And, you know, I called my boy Chad from Jersey. And because he was in youth ministry, I was helping out with him sometimes. And I said, yo, you know, you getting into this, you know, like, how was it? Like, how is it? And basically, after we got done with that convo, man, I said, Lord, youth ministry for real? Because I love the college ministry. I love rapping. Mm-hmm. I love traveling and preaching and stuff like that. And not realizing that my whole life was gearing up towards youth ministry, you know, and young adult ministry. And, you know, because they was once teens. Like, sure. It's just crazy how God humbled my spirit to realize it wasn't in a box like I thought. So yeah, man. Yep. 2018, I believe. At Wagner.
Yep. That's amazing. So let's fast forward now a little bit more. So it's been a 2-3 years now. All of a sudden you come upon a ministry position. Is it at New Testament?
New Testament Christian Church in Greece.
New Testament Christian mm-hmm. Church in Greece, which is not far away from Spencermore Bible Church, which you said to me, and I was really encouraged by this. Mm. When you found out I was pastoring at Spencermore Bible, you said to me, oh man, I pray for that church when I drive by. Mm. That blessed me, man. That was really, it goes back to the kingdom of God and the universal church, and that's what Rescue and Revive Ministries is all about. It's about kingdom over castle, mm-hmm. you know, and so that was really a blessing to me. So thank you for praying for that church. With that being said, talk a little bit about how you came into this youth pastorate or youth ministry position at New Testament.
Yeah, so 2021, March 19, 2021, I committed to babysitting, basically.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go. I was in my feelings about some things in life I was going through. But me and my boy OC, we showed up to that church. I had no clue what it was, but shout out to my godmother Jill.
Okay.
She had us go there, and you know, during that exact service in the evening time, the pastors was getting installed and stuff, and the founder, the pastor Jim, he was passing it off to his kids, basically.
Okay.
And what happened was the little kids in there, they just loved being around me, I guess. And it was just like, Dad, can we bring it back? Can we bring it back? You know, to speak at like the kids' church,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And he was like, sure. He didn't even know me, you know, shout out to Dom. And, you know, he brought me back a couple times. And from that, one of the pastors came to my rap concerts with her nephews and all these things. And, you know, he Pastor Jimmy came, like, I just was around, you know, little random moments.
Yeah.
And, they brought me back to speak. Pastor Lori, she brought me back to speak at her youth group. She was the youth pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And, I came to speak and, you know, they reached out to me. And during that time I was trying to be a youth minister elsewhere, and, God just knew where to put me at. And that's basically when I started. It was 2021, after that whole process of interviewing.
How's it been going so far? What have you learned? Because it's amazing to me that you hear that voice, you're at Wagner, you yield to this, you walk into this youth position. How has that been? Because this generation is obviously very different. Now, you're a young man, but still, 28 is different than 18.
Yeah.
So let's just say, you know, from this generation, from now who's 15, 18 years old to where you are, what's changed? In youth ministry, what have you found to be, what approaches have you found to work as far as presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ with this younger generation?
Well, one, integrity.
That's a huge word.
Yeah. Integrity, man. The Lord really built my, like, really broke my character down privately. And that's one thing, I'll shout out to Quavis Walker. He discipled me.
He's been on the show.
For years. And since I was 15, I met him, and when I was 16, that's when he started discipling me, and he taught me that. You know, he taught me what it meant to swing my sword, so to speak, privately with God, spending time with God alone in my quiet time. And he taught me what it meant to hear from the Holy Spirit. And I remember being in college, and it goes back to college of me asking so many questions, and you know, you got so much things coming against you in college, and you know, you want to know the answers and who's for me, and and he used to say, man, I don't know, ask the Lord, you know, ask, listen to the Holy Spirit. And I used to get very frustrated, but you know, it showed me and taught me to have a relationship with God privately. And so integrity was definitely a huge one to this very day that I take seriously, and I had to be broken out of. You feel what I'm saying? Just as a young man, learning what that meant to walk with the Lord privately. And going forward with that is obedience. You know, obedience is greater than sacrifice.
That's right.
And so realizing that even when it's scary, even when it's like, hold on, Lord, you sure? Like when I got that call, I'm like, oh, I got bigger dreams and plans. Like, and not realizing that God has orchestrated this whole thing to this point in my life to give me that call. And he trusted me with that, and he taught me, he's going to teach me what it meant to walk that out. And so obedience is a huge thing for sure. And one of the biggest things I teach my youth group and stuff is patience.
Patience.
And I heard this from a minister one time. They said patience isn't waiting for something, because everybody waits for something.
Sure.
It's how you wait. You know, it's the character of how you wait with the Spirit of God. And so that always stuck with me as well. You know what I'm saying? So. And then lastly, you know, for those who know Dr. Miles Monroe, you know, who passed away 2014, he one of his sermons and all that stuff and sit downs, he said, let's rob the grave. He said, no matter how old you are, there's people who are going to die old, who's going to die young. But Jesus died at 33 saying, it is finished. And that means that he poured everything out before he died that needed to be done on this earth. And so, you know, with us thinking about the graveyard and how the graveyard, he said the cemetery is the most wealthiest place because there's so many books, songs, businesses we would never experience because people died with that. And that stuck with me as a young man, you know what I'm saying, to give my all to what God has for me. And, you know, so that's one thing I always try to encourage these teenagers is, you know, what do you like doing? Like, what's, you know, start paying attention to this now as opposed to when you get 20, 30 year old and now you're confused about life. It's like, start now. You feel what I'm saying? So,
what have you found when you present that message? Because you mentioned two words that are very important. And I was talking about one of them with a fellow minister friend of mine, character. Character, integrity, those are two very, very important words in the work of the ministry. And they both deal with, well, private and public life, but a lot of the private. It's really the way you walk.
Yes.
The way you walk and the way you talk. You saw that I was a children's minister for a number of years. I used to tell the kids, how do you know if somebody's Christian? And they would repeat it after a while. I'd say, the way you walk and the way you talk. I mean, how you live, how you speak. Mm-hmm. Why? Because a good tree bears good fruit, bad tree bears bad fruit. And in time, you'll always see where they stand with God. But how do you bring that across example-wise to them? Mm-hmm. How do you bring that across them? Is it weekly, daily? How have they seen you demonstrate good character and integrity?
That's a great question. Well, one thing, like I said, Quavers discipling me, it wasn't just Bible study, right? It was me seeing how he was at Wegmans.
Right.
It was me seeing how he was at home. It was me seeing how he was with his kids and his wife and, you know, just all around life. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, I really adapted into that, like just like inviting kids into what Darius does, because it's nothing to hide. You know what I'm saying? I am who I am, you know, and whether I'm at work, at the schools, whether I'm at coaching football, whether I'm in the church, I'm just Darius, who God called me to be. And, you know, like when kids come play with me at basketball or something, right?
Yes.
They see it. It's crazy because one of my guys, Ethan, he pointed this out all the time. You know, he started seeing when I was bringing him to basketball early mornings too, by the way, he would start seeing that the whole gym, you know, I'm praying for, or before I'm leaving, I'm like, hey, Jesus loves you, God bless you, Jesus reigns, da da da. And then the next time he came, he started seeing that everybody was saying it, you know, Jesus loves, I beat you, Darius, to it. Yeah. And so he was just seeing that, oh, where Darius goes, that's just, he is who he said he is at youth group. And I had to learn that, you know what I'm saying?
Change.
Yeah, and I had to learn that, you know, I had to really like I said, God had to break me to teach me how to be that way. And I'm just so grateful that they get to see just everyday life of Darius, even in my music and all that stuff. They see that I'm not just playing around. You feel what I'm saying? They see, like, if I'm speeding, they see, like, oh, he slowed down. You know what I'm saying? Like, they see these things. And, you know, and now they get to see I'm married now. They get to see the fruit of me deciding to say, Lord, forgive me, move me forward and with integrity. And so they get to see the character that just living it out in my life.
That's irreplaceable. And you mentioned a word that as a minister in any capacity, a man of God, you really can't hide. And I think I've seen people get in trouble who are men who are in ministry who try to hide things. And that's contrary to how Jesus would instruct us. And certainly as leaders, you know, the Word of God says a bishop must be above reproach, above shame. And when you hide, that's the opposite of that. When you're hiding something, it's almost darkness rather than light. And so I commend you for that. And especially with this generation, you're still a young man in your 20s. But mature beyond your years. Let me transition, because in the second part of the interview here, Christian rap, which, quite honestly, in Christendom in general, it's controversial. Some people don't believe it's a valid form of Christian music.
Yeah.
Let me just pause right there. What would you say to those people? What would you say to those that are the detractors? Say, man, that doesn't honor God at all, what you're doing. What would you say?
Sheesh. Honestly, I say, well, like I'm going to hell there, because I mean,
well, I'm not even saying that.
But
you know what I mean.
But there's people, and I would literally be like, dang, like I would ask them, like, so am I using this for the kingdom of darkness in this world?
That's a good question.
And I don't know what they would say, but to that, you know, and it's very clear that the Bible says that all things that you do, give glory unto the Lord. You know, give glory to God for it. It's very clear that David has some rhythm. It's very clear that Jesus has some rhythm. I mean, it's just very clear. And, you know, and so the gifts that God has given me to use for his glory, I'm going to use it for his glory. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely what I want.
The word of God says, make the joyful noise unto the Lord. Yes. Sing unto him a new song.
Yes.
And so for me, I'm not a critic of it. In fact, there's some branches of it, certain songs that I do like. Be edified. But there's so many areas of controversy in Christendom. In fact, that little resource I gave you, that's what it's about.
Right.
It's about just seek first the kingdom, all the different denominational and divisions and so on and so forth that go on. And so it's hard, as you learn as a Christian, to kind of navigate through those things. And tell us, how have you been able to minister to the people through your Christian rap music?
Yeah, great question. From all ages, the Lord has used my music to minister. And, you know, whatever background people have, a lot of them have connected, you know, through it.
Sure.
And that's one thing I had to learn as a minister, not a performer, a minister.
Sure.
When
there's
I'm
a
rapping.
Difference.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I had to learn how to communicate with the people I'm in front of and to know the crowds, right? And so, you know, my music, I've been using that since I was, like I said, even before I was a Christian. And so when the Lord shifted my life, you know, my music went with it. And so, you know, at School of Arts, when I went to School of Arts for dance, I was rapping there. And the Lord was using me to rap at different festivals, Kingdom Bound, you know, New York City, different places. Literally, the Lord has brought me to different countries to rap and minister.
Like, what are some of the countries?
So like, for example, when I was on my in Southern Africa, I went on a service trip with Wagner College, and you know, they had a studio and stuff. So I'm like, oh, and I said, God, you know, look at this. Yep. And then the Lord is like, use what I've given you. And so I was rapping, you know,
South
in Botswana.
Africa.
You know what I'm saying? You know, when I was in Costa Rica, like, I played football around, right? Like, but I'm rapping. I'm doing different things, like, in everyday life, or I'm doing different things with shows, or I'm doing, you know, and so God has been using this music for beautiful things, and people from all different parts of the country, plus different countries, have been listening to my music from college, from now, et cetera, et cetera, you know, so.
Sounds like, because we didn't even touch on the football thing, played some semi-pro football, you've always, so it sounds to me, as you're talking, what God's given you, you're using for him.
Amen.
Completely. That's really what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. I got to ask you this before I forget, because I told my 14-year-old son, I'd ask you this. He saw you're a Panthers fan.
Oh, yeah.
His son's a big time, too big of a Panthers fan now. Mm-hmm. Big Bryce Young fan. Yeah, he is. Gabe, yeah, if you ever meet him.
Actually, I did meet him.
Oh, at basketball.
And I was like, yo, we rare, man.
I don't want to get off the gospel topic, but really quick, give me a prediction for the Panthers next year.
Oh, that's easy. I already got it.
What is it?
What's about to happen next year is, based off the inclination of the last 8 games, you got to watch the game in order to know what I'm talking about from this past year. We are, if we get a number one receiver, like a real number one receiver, not just a rookie
division
receiver,
champs.
We are, I believe, the last or the second to last game of next year. We're going to fight for that number one spot in the NFC South.
I'm going to remember you said that. That's it. Let's go back to the gospel. I did that for my son, Gabe.
Yes, sir.
That's a demonstration of love. I've never talked about football in that capacity.
Yes, sir. And shout out to my boy, Jay. Yes. A little younger in that church. Yes. We're the only ones.
So we got about 6 or 7 minutes left.
Yes, sir.
You asked me something we had lunch. I thought it was really interesting and great. I thought it was great. You go, hey, can I record you? As I speak a little Swahili, I'm trying to learn as much as I can. She said, can I record you saying God bless you in Swahili? Which you did. Mungu akabariki. Or Mungu akabariki sana, God bless you so much. Yeah. Have you played that for anybody?
No, I'm trying to
learn it. If you run into somebody who speaks Swahili, that's what you do? You play? Uh-huh. What's the purpose behind
that? Yeah. So, you know, I love missions work. Missions trips. I just love mission work. And, It really grew for me when I was in college because, you know, there's people from so many different countries. And I'm like, Lord, I want them to know that you will bless them and that you love them.
Yes, yes.
And Lord, help me. And so he gave me a creative way of just saying,
I love that.
I love language, you know. So I was like, okay. You know, and so it started with a lady from the lunch cafeteria who you know, who was serving the food and stuff. It started with Dios te bendiga. It started with Spanish.
Right.
And then it went to when I went to Southern Africa. I learned Modimo Hosel Fase, and Setswana, like, you know, so it just started from that. And I was like, these people, like, God, you love them. I want to tell them in the simplest way I could for the one moment I have with them. I don't know nothing you talking about, but I know that God loves you and that Jesus loves you. And that's literally.
You got Italian on there yet?
Nah.
I got Italian. I'm going to be Italian.
Yeah.
Dio di Benedica. Yeah, I'm gonna do it for you. Dio ti benedica. We'll do it after.
Okay,
we'll
okay. After. I like that. All right? I got to learn that.
Let me do this. Let me do this now, okay? We only have a few minutes left. I told you it goes by fast. Do you believe it?
Now you believe it, right?
Because you just get caught up talking.
Facts.
I ask every guest the same question at the end of the program, at the end of the show, and that's this. And you have about 60 seconds to do so. In your own way, in your own words, if you'd explain, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some people on right now that are watching. Others will watch later on. Others will listen on WYSL. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who are watching now, will be listening, watching later on.
Just like you, I've fallen short, done dirty, lie, cuss, hate everything you could think of in the book. Lustful, all of those things. And to be honest with you, it's hard to realize you've done those things and they're wrong because we seem justified. But the reality is that the only thing we was justified for was to be separated from God himself. But there was a God who loves you, who saw you and saw your family and saw your kids and saw all of these people and said, I'm coming down here to die for them and show them how much I love you. And that's what he did. He sent his son Jesus Christ down, a perfect sacrifice for our sins that we've fallen short to. He put everything that you could think of that you've done wrong or your family did wrong to you on himself so that when he died, it was finished for you and I to get to know the Father. And there was no separation by the blood of Jesus Christ alone. And he resurrected so that now we have the victory over everything that comes our way. We have the victory over even death. And when you accept Jesus into your heart, it ain't going to be easy. It's going to be tough. And there's going to be things that you feel like is justified in your life. But by his power of the Holy Spirit, when you say yes to him and you have this Holy Spirit, he's going to show you what it means to walk with him so that you can be with him forever and always, even after this life in this earth. He loves you. In Jesus' name. And he reigns.
That was very nice. Well said. Well spoken. Thank you for that.
Word.
I know it's hard to believe, but we're in the last couple minutes,
yes,
and so I just wanted to tell the viewers, listeners, a couple things. We are headed out to Kenya, Africa again in 2.5 weeks on March 8th with a very large team of 7 pastors and ministers. Please keep that in prayer if you would.
Nice.
RescueAndRevive.org is the website. If you're interested, you can find out more information there. We have pictures and information from former trips. This is our 4th time there. We're going to be going to our church in Kisoko, Kenya, that was just built from the ground up, our feeding center, 3 acres feeding center. We're going to be going all over Western Kenya. So please pray for that. Darius, anything else? New Testament Church, what times do you services? Friday nights or Mondays? What time Mondays? Yep. Real quick, we got 1 minute.
Yep, Inside Out Youth, Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30 at New Testament Christian Church.
Located at?
349 North Avenue in Greece, New York.
Okay, Youth Pastor Darius Walker, thanks again for joining us. And I want to thank you who are watching or listening. Thank you for helping us to rescue the lost and revive the saved. With the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ.
And shout out to my wife. See ya.
Amen. All right, man. Thank you, Jeanette, Alba, David, my man, Eve. All right, let's go.